Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
State and federal lawmakers continue to trace the mistakes that caused the nationwide outbreak of fatal meningitis. 32 people have died. Hundreds of others have been sickened by injectable steroids made by a Framingham-based compounding pharmacy. During testimony on Beacon Hill yesterday, Massachusetts' top health official, Dr. Judy Ann Bigby, called the outbreak one of the greatest healthcare tragedies in memory.
These events have uncovered unacceptable breaches on the part of individuals, gaps in regulatory processes, and above all, a need for immediate and lasting solutions. I am committed to answering the questions, how could this have happened, and how do we prevent it from ever happening again?
For more on how lawmakers fared in getting answers to some of those questions and to look at what's next, we turn to WBUR's Martha Biebinger this morning. Hello.
Good morning, Deb.
Well, Martha, state lawmakers echoed the frustration of many who are trying to figure out how thousands of vials of an infected steroid were shipped around the country. What was the focus yesterday?
Well, Deb, you know, we've heard a lot about the fact that this pharmacy, this compounding pharmacy that was supposed to just be making individualized prescriptions for individual patients, was actually making drugs in bulk, and they weren't supposed to be doing that. We heard a little bit more yesterday about how this all started with this particular steroid. Karen Ryle is the secretary of the Board of Pharmacy, and she says at the time New England Pharmacy started making this drug that has sickened so many and killed 32, that in fact only one manufacturer was still making it.
So that left Pfizer the only maker of this methylpenicillin, and it was in short supply because they couldn't ramp up to make up for the difference of the other two companies that no longer made it. So that's where the opportunity for compounding pharmacies came in to start making methylpenicillin preservative-free.
And what they were doing then was filling a gap. They were taking orders from hospitals that were desperate for more supply of this drug. They used poor judgment in doing that. As we know now, their sterility practices at NECC were not adequate. And we know that the inspectors missed some of these problems along the way.
And we also know that oversight is an issue. So what proposals are on the table to improve that?
Well, at the federal level, we have the Markey proposal and some other things under consideration that would require compounding pharmacies to register specifically with the FDA if they are going to make things in bulk, and would give the FDA, the federal inspectors, a lot more authority to oversee what they do. Then at the state level, Secretary Bigby, who we heard from just a minute ago, is talking about changing the makeup of the Board of Pharmacy so that it's not just pharmacists regulating themselves. She wants more money so that the unannounced inspections the state has started now can continue indefinitely, and they want more training for inspectors so they know what to look for in these compounding pharmacies.
You know, Martha, state lawmakers asked yesterday if the public can trust the Board of Pharmacy. And certainly there are a lot of questions about that, and it seems that this board had an awful lot of responsibility. What did you hear?
Well, Representative Jeff Sanchez asked that question of Madeline Biondalillo with the Department of Public Health.
We have worked very hard to put in place appropriate measures so that the public can trust the Board of Registration in Pharmacy. I would echo what the Secretary said about the value of the commission's focus.
Now, right about here, Deb, Jeff Sanchez breaks in and says, yes, but can we trust them? And Madeline Biondalillo goes on to talk about the things that they hope to do, the things that they are planning to put in place. But it leaves open the question. We know we still have a gap. We still have drug shortages. Who's stepping in to fill that? And is there adequate oversight of whoever's doing that?
WBUR's Martha Biebinger, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Deb.